Welcome to the Uncle Hack Podcast, where dudes pretty much just talk dude shit.
Welcome to another episode of the Uncle Hag Podcast. How are we doing out there, folks? You keeping it together? Yeah, losing it? Are you banned off of Twitter? Elon Musk making some big dirty moves, getting rid of some of them little rascals, as we like to say. Ugh. Everywhere you go, hey? Everywhere you go, somebody's... what about Elon? Elon Musk! He's the devil! Anyways, we'll get into that later. November 20th, Calgary, Alberta. November 25th, Grand Prairie. December 11th. Edmonton, Alberta, and now added December 17th. Tickets available at dangercatshop.com. Second show, more than likely to be added to the Calgary Danger Room. Ooh, a late show. Ooh, spooky. Isn't that fun, folks? Come on down. A safe space for dangerous ideas. Sam Walker, myself, Brett Forte, all on the road again, having a lovely time with one another, saying our stupid little bits to stupid people, having a good time, drinking liquor, sucking on nipples. Yeah, that's what I do now. I suck on female tits to suppress the depressed thoughts that I have inside my head of an ever-crumbling society that's on the collapse. It's on the horizon of an American election's taking place. People are upsetty spaghetti. We got celebrities now that are endorsing Republican candidates. We are on its axis. What is happening? No one knows. No one cares. What do... one thing, though. Let's get this bright and early. This blew my mind, okay? So, many of you... hold on. Let's pause that, and then we're going to bring this up. There it is. I should just turn this into a fucking live show. Maybe once I update my computer... in the podcast room. We'll do a few lives every day. Wouldn't that be fun? Wouldn't you guys like to talk to me live while I'm on air? maybe I'll figure out how to do the call-in and all that shit. Maybe. But until then, podcast every Thursday at 3 p.m. Tell your friends. Tell your friends, all of them. Tell them to download it. I thought you guys are fans. Here I'm sitting at a plateaued growth. Tell your idiot friends to listen to this. We give life advice for those that don't need it. I did, never mind. I'll try and find it. But one guy emailed me back. We didn't get no hate mail this week, which is very, very, very disappointing. But anyways, I'm getting off track here. My name got brought up in the Emergency Act Inquiry. Okay. Backstory. Many of you may know, I consider, Jeremy McKenzie, the founder of Diagolon, the meme country that has scared the Canadian government into submission, I may say. Jeremy is being, held captive, if you ask me. And, that's my own opinion. Now, the courts may disagree. They may see him a danger to the public, but I don't view a man with a microphone that dangerous. But when your words are deemed hateful, oh, hate speech, it's everywhere, misinformation. You you start to see that these individuals that you consider friends, like Jeremy, for example, painted as if they're an evil villain, you know, as if he had everything to do with the convoy, and he had to sit and Saskatoon. There we go. He currently is in a Saskatoon jail, being held there, and during his the fuck is that word? Boy, oh boy, gonna be a long podcast today, let me tell you. During his interview, I guess, being examined, his cross-examination, there we go, for the Emergency Act inquiry, he dropped my name, Sam Walker's name, and Brett Forte's name, which is a high honor to know that my name will be forever scribed into the history books of Canada, of the Emergency Act being invoked. And those files will have my name in it. Now, whether or not they fucking spelt my last name right, I highly doubt it. That one's a tongue twister. Blackqueer. Which is, yeah, that's a fun one, right? You know what, Jeremy, the internet is, see, here's the problem I have is like, some people view his content as like very extreme. Many of us that do watch him, I find him entertaining. I do. I find him, very charismatic. He's entertaining and he's extremely funny. He's a very funny individual. There has been countless times where I've sat and talked with him and just riffed on ideas and we've had a blast just shooting the shit together. So he has an incredible sense of humor. But people seem to think that he is a danger. Danger. Like he's going to put together a group of militants that are going to overthrow the government. Ah, scary, scary. Which, you know what, with the declining numbers of the Canadian Armed Forces, it probably wouldn't be that hard these days. You know, if you could slap together 5,000 competent people that can operate a firearm, I'd probably say, like, we're very invadable, you know? Because half the people that are, like, from my understanding, a lot of those soldiers that are in the armed forces right now here in Canada are looking to get the fuck out. I've had enough of this. I'm over it. I'm going to go and do my own thing. I'm not going to go and defend a country that simply just does not have enough to give back. So it makes sense, you know, when a lot of those that will pick up weapons are now being demonized and even like the way Jeremy's being treated through his court process. Now, I don't believe he's been charged or charges are pending. He's got a court date, November 10th, I believe. I'm not like the conspiracy theorist inside of me. Just like there's something about it that seems weird that he would be in jail while this is all going on. Like the optics of it. It's just it does. You know, pique my interest in like really knowing what happens behind the scenes. We'll never know, unfortunately. I wish Jeremy the best. I do. I think he's an incredible human. He selflessly picked up a weapon and went over to Afghanistan, which proves he has bigger balls than most people in this country. He's a decorated veteran, you know. And it sucks to see a guy like that in the position that he's in. And I don't think that his words should be taken as if he is a domestic terrorist of any sort. I don't think that, you know, I think he's a pretty I don't want to say well-mannered because that goes against what he's all about. I don't think that he's well-mannered, but I think that he's emotionally stable to understand like his decision-making process, you know, like he's not going to go full Pat King on him in the moment that, you know, he's inconvenienced at an airline and start threatening the prime minister. You're going to catch a bullet one day. Doing that type of shit on a Facebook post, you know? I think that he's a very well-spoken man, and I think that he's very entertaining. I enjoy watching some of his streams. I don't take it for... I don't take his words as like, yeah, you know, like, in your head, you need to believe me, you know, and like going Alex Jones. And like, I do see the entertainment aspect of it. He has fun on his live streams, and it's a bummer to see where he's at right now. So I do want to like, you know, once you get out, pal, keep your head up. I doubt you'll be able to watch this. I don't know if you have access to the internet in there or even access to YouTube, I should say, but for those out there that are fans of Jeremy and know who he is, it's tough to see that the country is going in such a way that speech, you know, we can't even handle speech right now. We're seeing it with Sophie Buttle's new special. Comedians now running scared away from it. Those that endorsed it are now running away from it. They're like, oh my God, that special was so good. I was talking to a comic last night, and I'm diverting off of the path of Jeremy. But I do want to say I wish him the best. You know, I miss his humor online. I miss the conversations that I've had with him. And, you know, I hope to be sharing laughs with him again in the near future. He's a wonderful human being in my eyes, and somebody who can do the things that he did to protect the freedom that we do get to enjoy here should not be undermined, I don't think. I think that you know, we look past it. We're a very selfish society now. We have our own ideas and own way of looking at how the world should be rather than working with one another to make the world that it actually should be. So these conflicting ideas and being pitted against one another, whether it's wealth, class, race, religion, it seems to be those are the issues on the forefront rather than the bigger problem that's happening. And I think it's government overreach and a giant wealth divide. And are the true problems that we overlook because we're too blind as humans right now to see what it actually is, and to see that it is wealthy individuals that keep us distracted rather than focusing on the true problems, true unity with one another. And I think, you know, Jeremy is one of those guys that has done... I'd say a phenomenal job on bringing people together. You know, I don't entirely agree with him politically, but that's beside the point. I look, I don't know why I put that in there. It's like, ah, he's a nice guy, but fuck, why did I do that? But I didn't mean in that way. Like, you know, we're able to put differences aside on what we think about certain topics. And I certainly enjoy that in a time where people felt their lowest. For some people, it was rock bottom. You know, you may have were unable to go in and provide for your family because, you know, your views on the vaccine or whatever it was, because you disagreed with that and you were able to put your fucking foot down and have a backbone and stick to your guns on what you truly believed in. And, you know, it sucked to see some people struggle through all that 2 years. And now we're just looking like, oh, well, you can cancel Disney Plus. Why don't you just cancel Disney Plus? Why don't you do that? And he, in the midst of it, he was able to bring people together to have barbecues, bring folks together to have some beers, flip some burgers, to shoot the shit. He brought a community together, which most people don't want. They want fans, you know, they want fans. Why aren't you a fan like me? I want fans. I want paying customers to my comedy shows so I can further myself and possibly make it in America. I'm just fucking around. No, I love the fact that we bring people out and it's truly amazing to see that a guy will do all that. And did it feed ego? I don't want to say it did with him. I think that he's very passionate, especially when he put his life on the line and was willing to go, you know, and accepted that death could be his final destination when he hopped on that plane to head over to Afghanistan. He accepted that. He accepted that that could be reality in the near future. He doesn't know. And he went over there and did his job anyways. And I think that that is something that we should be reminded of, you know. We should be reminded of that. And let's put some belief into the, let's hope the court system does its job correctly. And I wish him the best. I truly do. I think he's a wonderful person. I do. I find him, like I said, highly entertaining. And you know what? We'll play this. Then we'll make fun of all the Vancouver comedians that totally bitched out when Sophie Buttle goes through her little cancellation. I can't believe she would say that.
There's a couple of comedians in the Edmonton and Calgary. There's a couple of comedians in the Edmonton and Calgary area that I know that travel down to put on some a performance, I think, and then just kind of meet and greet and leave, and that was about it.
What were the names of the two comedians?
It was Brendan Blackier and Sam Walker, or did, maybe, I'm not sure if Sam attended, but Brendan for sure. And there was also Brett Forte, who I don't know personally. I've never spoken to him. I was just made aware that they were there because they posted a video of them traveling there to say hi to everybody. There's a couple of comedians in the Edmonton and Calgary area that I know that travel down to.
Thanks to that man. My name is, you know what? I got to give, first off, live studio audience giving Jeremy a little hand here. My name now has comedian attached to it. My birth given name, Brendan Black here, now has comedian attached to it. You thought I couldn't do it. You thought I couldn't do it. I cheated my way into it. Did I earn it? No. I'm like David Arquette winning the WCW heavyweight championship by earning the title comedian. You know, for those wrestling fans out there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, they made David Arquette the champion. They thought it was this, and then like wrestling fans just despised him for the longest time. And then now I have to earn that title. Now I have to earn that title. So thanks to Jeremy, my back is against the wall. I have to go out there and be the comedian you all wanted me to be. I gotta be the evil son of a bitch. It'll be fun. Now my name's on the radar, which is, and here's like the old paranoid side of me. I felt like I was doing cocaine still, the other day because I was watching this live. I wanted to see like, what would play out with, his interview, I guess. Is it an interview? I don't know what they fucking call it. His court hearing. I don't know what it is. His inquiry hearing there. It's right in the name. Hack, you fucking idiot. I wanted to, he's such a well-spoken individual and very polite during it all. Like watching it's so black and white watching him and Pat King on there. If you watch the exclusive version or the clip I put up of my bit on Pat King, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. If not, subscribe to the Patreon, you cheap son of a bitch. But yeah, now my back's against the wall. But like I was saying, I felt like I was like all paranoid Pete there the other day. Because as that happened, all of a sudden there's this like middle-aged woman walking up the steps in my office now, since I'm working from home, outlooks into the boulevard where our steps are to the front door. And there's this middle-aged woman that is walking up the stairs, right? And I'm thinking, Jesus fucking Christ, boy, CSIS or whoever they are, whatever police service is coming to, you know, or as that was being said, they're coming to serve me to come and testify at the inquiry. I thought that right away, as soon as my name got dropped, and all of a sudden there's this elder woman, but it ended up being the property manager, old paranoid Pete over here. You would have thought that I was gacked out, ready to hide in a closet for 3 days with the cocaine blues. You know, when you're like sweat, I don't know if you've ever done a healthy amount of cocaine on the weekend, but if you have, after a good bender, you know that you go and you lay on the couch and you've depleted your system of any ounce of serotonin that you could possibly have in it. And you replaced all that over the weekend by this ingredient that makes you come up with business ideas that you didn't know you had stored inside your noodle. So there, it felt like that for a split second. And I'm like reminded like, oh yeah, that's why I don't do nose rockets. Speaking of, 3 years since I've touched the stuff. I couldn't believe that. Well, the other day I was like thinking, and it was like 3 years without hitting the old devil's dandruff. And you know what? The amount of times I've been offered it and haven't collapsed and just like, yeah, maybe one little nick will kick. Wow! Yeah! Kick stomach! It'll never die! Wow! You know, like just to grab that gear again. And surprisingly, all I can think of is like that. That, like, that feeling of the next day of, like, paranoia. Oh, fuck, the whole world hates me now. I said the whole world hates me now. You know, that lovely feeling of waves crashing down on you. You think that your mother somehow, caught you in the handicap stall of a dive bar out, like, downtown. You get these ideas in your head of like false, like your imagination is just like shooting you false stories that you believe are real. Oh, yeah, Jesus. But it is crazy to think that my name got brought up. Couldn't believe it. And thanks to Jeremy, now my name is forever scribed into the history books of Canada as comedian Brendan Blackear. So thank you for that, Jeremy. Thank you for that, Jeremy. You know, we're trying to make light of every situation that's thrown my way. I've noticed now lately I don't take too much shit serious, and I don't know if that's a good thing or bad thing, because I think most people would be shitting their fucking pants the moment that in something of this... in this order, in this like, this could be considered one of the high points in the last 10 years when it comes to like Canadian politics, right? This act that was invoked. And when I heard that, I laughed. I'm like, so maybe I am designed for comedy. I don't know. Maybe I'm an idiot. And I just lack this like, part of me that can reflect on how stupid I actually am. And I just say like, it's funny, you know, it's funny to me. That or I truly don't care. I don't know. It's one of those three things and I can't put my finger on it. And I refuse to go see a therapist like I'm some fucking mook asshole. Nobody, you imagine that you don't have any friends that can hear you out, that you got to go to therapy. I feel bad for those people. Imagine that your life sucks so much that you don't have anybody that you can be like, dude, I just fucking can't. Like, I think I suck. And nobody will listen to that. You know, nobody will take the time out of their day to listen to you go, oh, I think I'm not very good. And they'll be like, yeah, fuck. That's the joy of having friends is they're like, you're a retard. And then you're like, you know what? I am a fucking retard. What am I doing? You know, men need to express their feelings. We do. And then we make fun of one another immediately after because that's how we bond. We don't sit here and try, like, nobody wants to sit around with a guy that is just like, oh, I have so much trouble. It's depressing. It's depressing. You don't want to hear that all day. Imagine you go out for beers, right? You go out for beers and there's one guy. All it takes is one guy to sit there. Oh, man, life stinks. Oh, boy. I just can't believe how bad everything is. We bitch, but we make fun of the bitching. We make light of it. And not taking anything serious is a great way to go through life because then you just don't carry that baggage on you. Imagine like you just had a backpack on and every time that you're like, oh boy, you put a brick in the backpack. Think of that. Every time you want to bitch, you've put a brick in your backpack or you're like hanging on to like, that's essentially what it is. Oh, the divorce. Ah, put that brick in the backpack. Oh no, I got an addiction of some sort. My gambling addiction has caused me not to be able to buy Christmas presents for my kids this year, so I'm doing a little Christmas shopping at the dollar store. Ah, brick in the backpack. And you're carrying that weight. And then your friends come along and they're like, you idiot, why would you bet $100 on the under for the Miami Dolphins versus the New England Patriots? Why would you bet that when you could have bought, you know, cereal and milk for your kids? Oh, okay, yeah. And that making fun is removing the brick, right? It puts things into perspective of like, yeah, you're a moron instead of being like, well, how does that make you feel? No, you're an idiot. That's the joy of men. That's why I like being a guy. I don't have to play around with all this like, well, I feel this way because of this. And it's like, no, I'm just a fucking idiot. That's all. There's a quick, easy description of my emotions attached to my actions. And it's being a fucking idiot. And I enjoy that. Having a penis between my legs, it's like nobody ever sits there and they don't go, oh, you know how like we're debating right now? What is a woman? What is a woman? What is a woman? Nobody's going, what is a man? Because we know as men, as dudes, we know what that is. When the fucking guy is like, I'm an alpha male. No, you're not. No, you're not. Any alpha male wouldn't have to sit there and tell you he's an alpha male.
I'm an alpha male because I hunt down child predators and record them, put them on YouTube.
An alpha male wouldn't record it and put it on YouTube looking for gratification from strangers. A real alpha male would probably just beat the fuck out of that guy, beat the fuck out of that Skinner in a parking lot, and then move on with his day because he's got better things to do than upload some content to the internet, which makes me not an alpha male, okay? I'm begging for attention. I'm trying to be a comedian. That's a, you know, that like I didn't get hugged as a child. You know, my dad didn't tell me, you know what? You played good today, son. You played good today, son. You look great out there. Skating, crossovers, you know, couple pucks off the crossbar, but that's okay. No, instead it was like my mom being like, do you have to fucking fight? Do you have to fucking fight? And then, like, you get angry because then your nuts start dropping and you're like, yeah, I do. I'm pissed off and I don't know why. So that kid that's from the opposing town is going to get the brunt of my violence because I'm angry. And the music that I listen to tell me I am. That's truth. That's why we don't go around. What is a man? You can't ask that question. First off, what is a man? Okay. What is a man? Ask yourself that. And secondly, when we're going about this, like, well, what is a woman? What is a woman? We ask ourselves that, right? Or not ourselves. It seems to be a question that's asked these days, but we don't ask, like, we don't have an answer because Everybody's got their own idea. Nobody's going like, oh, what is a man? And it's like, you don't ask a man what is a man because he'll get pissed off. Because like, there's no, what do you care? First off. And then you're like, yeah, exactly. That's a man right there. That is a man. You'd be like, what is a man? The fuck do you care? Huh? There you go. That's one. That is one right there. Time for a little ad read. DangerCatShop.com for all your tickets for upcoming shows. Like I said, November 20th, Calgary, Alberta. November 25th, Grand Prairie. December 11th, Edmonton, Alberta. And December 17th, Cranbrook, BC. Second show, more than likely added by the time that this episode is released for November 20th in Calgary. Going to be another lovely Danger Room. We love the Danger Room down there at the Comedy Cave in Calgary, Alberta. Plenty of fun dates ahead of us, and we're adding more. If you know a little bar that would love to host the cats, please email me, unclehack@dangercats.tv. Also, no hats yet. We're in the midst of creating new hats and releasing them soon. Hoodies and t-shirts, flags are now restocked on the store. Use the code PODCAST69, get 15% off your order today. Patreon.com/DangerCat69. Roast Battles Volume 7 is now available for you to view. That's right, we say evil shit to one another as comedians, which pisses off most of the land of social media. Creepy crawlers that are sifting through just looking for shit to be offended at. It's what got me canceled before, and it'll probably get me canceled again. Roast Battles Volume 7 now on Patreon. It's a fun little ditty. Some little guy decided to challenge me to an arm wrestle for the title. And that's all in Volume 7 of Danger Cat's Roast Battles. Plus, there's an exclusive or extra episode, I may say, of the Uncle Heck podcast waiting for you right now. Isn't that great? You get another hour of this podcast in your ears, and you can also watch. We do video format on there as well. Isn't that lovely? We go harder. We go longer. Well, not longer, but we definitely go harder. Anyways, back to the episode. Yeah, could you imagine that? You get like some fucking one of these like Steven Crowder type on the left. I don't know. And it's like, what is a woman doing? Like, you know how he does that like change my mind shit on the street? But then you get like some, I don't know, liberal, I guess, left leaning type Steven Crowder. Like, let's say the Young Turks, you know, that Hassani B. Oh, I'm going to get you. The candy man is going to get you. That Hassan Piker. And he goes out on the street and then he starts asking like, what is a man? And then it's just like, I have a cock and what the fuck do you care? And I'm like, there you go. Found him. That's the guy. That right there. Figured it all out. Cash your chips in. We have our answer. Cause like, let's be real. They're like, we're asking like, what is a woman, right? Nobody can have a clear, definition of what a woman is, yet we're still running around. I'm like, what the fuck? What is this woman? What is a woman? Secondly, you know, it's easy to like start questioning what is a woman, because when you know, a dude turns into a chick, right? And he wants to be an athlete or turn into a female athlete. A guy wants to turn into a female athlete. That's possible. But you don't see it the other way around. Why is that? Why is that? Hold on.
Come on, man.
I know. I'm making good points today, Boozy. And I thank you for chiming in. That's what I mean. It's getting out of fucking control out there. You know, we need to calm down. We need to relax. We need a threat, like an imminent threat here in North America that'll put everything back in order. You know, we haven't had like a good, like 9/11 could be considered that, but here in Canada, we don't have anything here. Nobody looks at Canada and be like, we should bomb the shit out of them. We should bomb. They're like, we're going to bomb Manitoba. And half the world goes, what the fuck is a Manitoba? You imagine that? We are going to bomb the Christ out of Manitoba. The Chinese would even be going like, what the fuck is Manitoba? Is that Manitoba woman? A Manitoba. Sounds like a made up creature in World of Warcraft is what it is. Like, yeah, it's like one of those little like stumpy, what's that, Mike Wazowski looking character with like bigger arms if it had more definition. That's what a Manitoba would be. That's like, it's like the, if there's like evolving stages into a manatee or a mana, what the fuck are those half? God damn it. God damn it. Manatee is a sea creature. Maybe that's what a Manitoba is. It's like the egg of a manatee. All right. We're getting way off kilter here. Way off kilter. That's what I mean. We are not asking the right questions. You know, what is a man? What is a man? You imagine that sitting in the work truck? Sitting in the work truck. For those that you, I've seen a few people comment now that they listen to this in shops or work trucks or whatever. Imagine that. Imagine somebody came in and said, what is a man? And then there's always an old guy that has a cigarette hanging out of his lips. Clothes are always tattered. He's still got the fucking same sweatshirt from 1990. And it looks like it's been just ripped apart by a bird shot, you know, like, and he just layers up with that. That's always the last layer. And somehow this sweatshirt from 1998 is still, it's outlasted three of his marriages, but It honestly looks like you hung it up on a clothesline and just like took a few whacks at it with some birdshot. A few like shotgun shells of birdshot just went right through it. That's what it looks like. And that guy is over there in the corner. His face looks like if you spray tanned a fucking French bulldog, you know, the wrinkles on it just from, you know, the years of sun abuse on his mug from working outside and doing the things that are need to be done. And he's always walking around the shop, cigarette hanging out of his lips. The one eye is always closed because of the smoke's going in there. He refuses to take the cigarette out of his lips to talk. So the ashes are just falling all over his clothes. And then you figure out why he has all these fucking holes over in this sweatshirt that he got handed to him at a company Christmas party in 1998, refuses to throw it in the garbage because there's sentimental value. And somehow that just outweighs the fact that the clothing isn't doing what it's designed for. And you look over and you see this guy right after somebody says, what is a man? And you're like, that guy's suppressed every fucking emotion that he's ever had. And now he's left with one and it's angry. His anger is happiness. He loves being angry and he hates everything. He's one of those guys that if somebody brought up the weather, fuck, fucking raining. He always has to chime in about the weather. Loves talking about the weather, hates sports, thinks it's dumb, right? Because it's not a manly game anymore. It's not it's not hockey in the 80s where they just whacked each other over the top of the head and just fought for fucking three periods. And somehow if one team managed to score, they won the Stanley Cup that year. You know, back when men walked around with concussions from football and it was just called getting rocked. That's his era of sports, right? That's a man. And hasn't bought a new vehicle in 30 fucking years. Usually drives like an F-150, one of those extended cabs when they first came out of it. That fucking thing just reeks like cigarettes and booze. He spilt more beers in that thing than you've drank in your lifetime. And that guy right there, that's a man. You look at that guy, that's a man. Every shop has one of those. At least comes in there. So if you're a supply store, you know exactly who I'm talking about. And that guy, that's a man. You look at him and you're like, you might fucking hate that guy because he's so miserable. You know, he wakes up every day and I don't think like he hasn't cracked a smile since the last time he got his nuts rubbed. And that was probably 86 after his first divorce. Just has this hatred towards women his age, but loves to look at young pussy. loves to look at young pussy. Look at the tits on that thing. Holy fuck. And that's when you get a laugh out of them.
Oh, boy. Fuck, if I was 80 years younger, I'd put a dent in that.
Like you had a chance, you know? But the confidence that resides inside him, like he'd be able to, I'd fuck her. Whether I'd have to drug her or get her hammered, I'd even fucking give her oysters and rub her back until she let me eat her pussy from the back. You know what I'm saying? The last time he said he's seen a pussy, porno mag still had Bush in him. Oh, fuck. That's a man. When you ask that question, what is a man? That right there. That guy. To me, anyways. I don't look at a lawyer. You imagine looking at a lawyer with a bow tie on and being like, fucking, that right there's a man. That guy right there. No. That guy bitches about the, you know, as soon as the snow falls, oh boy, my fucking, I don't even know, the loafers? Do they wear loafers? My dress shoes are getting a little dirty. Well, you know, I don't look at that as a man. The guy that has a rusted out box in his F-250. That guy's a man. There's 83 cents. Actually, that number doesn't make $1.85 worth of empties always in the back, always in the box, you know, tall boys, few tall boys. The guy's drank himself into oblivion, but fuck can he work? Fuck can he work? You know, he gets jobs done. I respect the hell out of guys like that. I fucking love dudes like that. I love miserable old guys. For some reason, me and them always get along, you know? I can find common ground with them. I also don't try to, like, pry on their life. And, you know, you just sit there, you listen to them bitch, and you find a little bit of humor with them, and then they, oh, fuck you. If you can rib each other, there's a respect with that. If you can take him busting your nuts, you've earned like an ounce of respect to have a conversation with them. That's what I've learned over the years. Instead of forcing trying to be friends with them every now and then, he'll let them bust your nuts a few times and you just laugh it off. You know, you old son of a bitch. I know you're going to fucking drop dead one day. And it's not going to be like something expected. For some reason, like those guys live till they're like 96 and then they drop dead because of fucking, you know, something the doctor didn't see. He's like, yeah, cancer will take that guy out. And he's had cancer 9 times. How the fuck isn't he dead? He's had liver cancer. Fuck. Twice. 19 DUIs. He shouldn't even be driving, but he just does not care that much that he'd rather live the rest of his days in prison. I love guys like that. Fuck. That's what I miss. Like, here's what I miss about, like, blue-collar work. Know what the fun thing about what I do now is I get everybody in fun mode, right? I get everybody in fun mode. I'm like, I'm straight up uncle now, you know? I don't have to go to the site and be like, oh, fuck, I'm part of the family. No, I'm fun uncle, funkle. You come to the Danger Cat show and you get a kickback, put a few shots down your gullet, maybe smoke a joint out back. Come in, have some laughs on the Three Musketeers, and then we all get to hang out after. I don't understand why everybody, as soon as the show's over, they just fucking boot out of there. They always got something else to do. And usually we're hanging out, and there's always like 10 or 15 guys that'll hang out after, and then that's when it's fun, because then you get to shoot the shit. And that's what makes it an even more extraordinary time. But that is kind of crazy that now I get to sit back and I get to be the fun uncle to blue collar gentlemen, and I'm I'm taking that term and I am running with it. You know, the uncle of the blue collar, the Alberto Rattlesnake, baby. I've got so many fucking self-given titles now. Jesus Christ. But it is. It's an honor that the working man comes to our shows. You know, that the working class, salt of the earth beauties out there that battle the elements, they take on nature, they take on the job, they take on confrontation head on. They can work alongside the gentleman that I just described earlier without having to go to HR. Well, he called me a faggot. You know, you imagine that. You imagine that right there. What is a man? A man doesn't go to HR. A man does not go to HR. Could you imagine that? A grown-ass man going to HR to tell a woman that, another man called him a faggot? You imagine that? You imagine doing that? Jesus Christ. I'd fucking remove my own balls. I would. I'd go out to the cousin's farm when they're calving and be like, get rid of these fucking things. Or calves, like branding, sorry. When they're branding, hey, castrate me. Get rid of them. Oh, why is that? Well, I decided that the other day I walked into the HR office and I was like, hey, you know, Randall out there? Yeah, he just called me a faggot. I'd like to tell on him as a grown man. Oh, fill out this report. Then you got to fill out the report. Imagine sitting there writing down what your little beep boop issue is. God almighty.
He called me a mean name.
Imagine that. Imagine doing that. That's why suppress your feelings. No one cares, okay? Man, no one cares about us. Ah, we do. All those guys that are, like, I see it on TikTok too. No one cares about our feelings. No one cares about our feelings. Have you tried, take a fucking step back, pal. When you go with your friends, do they bust your nuts? That's them caring, okay? That's how men interact. That's how men interact. This whole fucking what is a woman shit is just like drawing the bitch in all of us out. And I know. My thinking is like back in the day, old guard type mentality, okay? And I know where it comes from. It's like I grew up with a single mom and her first child is a boy, right? It would have been much easier as a girl, but her father was very stern. There was rules in the house. My grandpa, military man, you know what I mean? Truck driver. That load better be at this place at this time. You know, very regimented. There was rules in the house and you abide by them. That or you meet the fucking law. And the law is a right hand or a wooden spoon or a belt. There's a little bit of violence. I call it discipline though. Some people call that child abuse. I call it discipline. My mother did nothing wrong. She did nothing wrong whatsoever. And when you remove the dad out of, you know, like you seek that kind of attention as a young lad, right? You do. And I found that through like the older crowd that I hung out with, you know, they carried themselves differently than my friends. So you'd view how they do things, right? You analyzed a little more. You shut the fuck up. You listen. How do they talk? How do they talk to one another? But nobody does that. Oh, nobody cares about me. Sit back and just listen. Take in your environment. Say something every now and then and see how it's received and give it back to you. And you'll gain a lot of information just through that small interaction. Okay. If you bring something up and everybody's just like, oh God. Yeah. Because we're all carrying our own problems, you know? We're all carrying our own problems. The guy that bitches the most is the most, you know, like that obnoxious type of complaining. I probably do that on this show. In fact, that's all this show is me bitching, isn't it? Or making fun of things. But it is. That's like the male interaction. There's a sacred bond between that. And now we've allowed like females to seep in and start telling us what we need to do, right? The manliness is gone. That old guard style of thinking. And it was handed down to me from my grandpa, right? Both my grandpas, you know? I kind of got a weird thing going on where I have like a better relationship with both my grandfathers than I do my father. It's very hard to understand. Okay. My grandfather on my dad's side, me and him are very close. That's the one that brought a hooker to Thanksgiving dinner. And he's just got this wild outlook, very wild outlook that was, wild for the time when he was being raised, let's be honest. Racism was a bit of a thing back then, but he was an outcast. So he was part of like the group, the ones pushed to the outside because he was an orphan at the time and he ran away from the orphanage. So that's who he hung out with. And he garnered this view of the world that's very unique and like instilled it into me just like through advice and problems that I had. He'd be like, oh, my son, it ain't worth the fucking weight of he'd have like all those old like trucker sayings. It ain't worth the weight of seven tits on a boar. I don't know. That makes no sense. And he would never say that. I'm just pulling things out of my ass. I'd have to go. I got to go talk to him again. Maybe we'll get him on the show one day. But he had a way. And then my grandpa on the other side, you know, military man, both truck drivers. So they're very regimented when it came to time. One loved to party and the finer things of life. He loved pussy, liquor, and drugs. My grandpa on the other side, work hard. Don't say shit. And fucking carry yourself like a man. So you collide both those worlds. And this is what you get. Me. That's what you get. This is what that creates. It's like those two styles of thinking. Like, you know, read the room. Sometimes your words don't matter that much inside that room. I understand that. You know? What is a man? I swear to fuck. That question's right around the corner. It's right around the corner. It is. Once they get bored of the whole what is a woman question and we've beaten that into the ground, what is a man? That's the next one. What is a man? And I guarantee you, it's not going to be men. Like the ones that I described, they don't want no part of that conversation because they don't need to be a part of the... They are men, okay? They are men. It's going to be these people that you just look at and you go like, these aren't fucking men. What are they debating this for, you know? It'd be like Jordan Peterson. Well, honestly, if you just pack up your things every morning and throw them out your bedroom window, as long as your bed's made, you know, the life ahead of you during that day is going to be quite extraordinary. You might possibly stroll across a brand new piece of pussy. You might find 10 cents on the ground. Nobody knows. It'll be him debating like some fucking transitioning female. Be like, well, I think I know what a man is after I've pumped about 1,000 milliliters up my ass so that way I can get muscles and a beard so I can fit in. And I overly exaggerate my masculine qualities, which is like odd when I get around a group of men because none of them act like that. Yeah, I like pussy. I'm like, whoa, easy. Jesus Christ, what are you doing? I've got a theory, okay? You know, I this whole like what is a woman thing? I've went off on a few things. I've burnt a lot of time going on like this. What is a man? I hope you're having fun out there because I'm having a little fun in here. You know, I'm having a little fun in here. I initially set out to talk about Elon Musk and his Twitter fucking horse shit, but this was way more fun. See, we come on here. I don't kid yourself. I have a layout of the show, and sometimes you just have to let it, you got to let these fucking things fly. You got to let them come out of you, right? And initially, we were going to talk about Elon Musk and dumb people expressing themselves, a little bit of nostalgia that I have experienced today, but this is much better, you know? I feel like these issues get sloughed off to the side with this like crowd because you're like, oh yeah, these fucking trannies. You know, you just throw that out there. You're fucking tranny. You don't know what you're mad about yet. And it's more so like the attack on the male identity, I think, is what irritates most of us. The attack on the male identity is like we're supposed to be this way, oh, that way. It's just a bunch of fucking females that have an idea of like what a man is, even though they can't keep one, you know? Isn't that funny? Isn't it funny the ones that just can't keep a man have an exact idea of what, hey, I should be 6 feet tall, make $300 million a year, buy me presents, and let me be a whore on Instagram. And like every dude is like, well, I got none of those, and I don't feel like letting that happen, you know? I just don't feel like letting that happen. Christ almighty, if I had $300 million, do you think that I'm going to be pulling the ratchet whores off of TikTok that are twerking, being like, I need this guy. Are you out of your mind? Are you out of your mind? Do you think, like, I honestly would, I would love to crawl inside the minds of these people just to understand, like, where their thought of, this is what a, This is what a billionaire wants. A dumb whore who's seeking attention on every social media app and spreads her hole on Twitter to try and sell OnlyFans subscriptions, you know? That's exactly, like, if I was Elon Musk rich and I had the ability to buy Twitter, right? Say I was that. We're tailing off. We'll end the show on a whole different topic. Actually, it's on the same topic. It's male identity. But if I'm that rich, right? If let's say I am rich, I'm Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk rich, right? And I'm seeking a lover. I'm seeking somebody to have a little fun with. Do you think that I'm hopping on something like Instagram, Twitter, TikTok in particular, of like these girls that are showing their, like, they are literally four threads away from showing their hole. And I'm just sitting there thinking to myself with $1 billion in the bank and be like, yes, that's what I need. An emotionally unstable skank trotting around my $1 billion plaza feeling as if she's like rooted herself into my lifestyle. And I'm just going to pull her right out of the algorithm, right? I'm just going to fucking, like, it's a claw machine. Bam. Drop her into my life because, you know, he has the money to pretty much do that. I imagine he has a crane that he just pulls whores out of the street and then drops them, skull fucks them. And then he's like, I didn't get the big toy. So whoop, back to the Goodwill you go. That's what I imagine. That's what probably billionaires do, don't they? They have a giant crane and then they got a whore magnet on top of it. And then they just hover it around like whatever street, you know, Rodeo Drive, or they're down in Queens, somewhere in Manhattan, and just like plunk, there you go. Brand new whore for the day. It's like a new toy for them, right? It's a brand new toy. And they just plop that little whore right on their patio. Hey, show me your lips. And then they like do the duck face. No, 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 no. Let's hear how loud you can queef, you know? Cause I imagine like once you have that much money, you fucked in so many different ways and scenarios that weird shit becomes attractive. You know, you imagine having that much sex. Imagine having so much sex that you have to do weird shit to get you off. I totally understand that. Like when celebrities, you know, they're like, oh, well, he was caught in an orgy eating corn dogs, being fed corn dogs while getting his asshole licked by seven black hookers. And you're like, yeah, that to me, that makes sense. Everybody else is like, oh, whoa, I can't believe this. This is headline news. You know, regular day folk walking around. Do you believe that he would do that? Yes. Yes, I do. You imagine being able to fuck anyone, anywhere, anytime because of your status, money, and looks. Don't you think that just regular missionary sex would get a little boring? For you and I, it's like, it's a treat every now and then when you're out and about, and especially for single men, you know, you're on the hunt. It's like a lion in the safari, you know? You don't get that daily intake of protein every day, right? You got to go and hunt and find it. And when you get it, you savor it. You're like, oh God, thank you, dear Lord, for planting this pussy in front of me. I'm going to eat it until the morning shining upon the back of my skull while I'm face down in some pussy, right? For like millionaires, celebrities, fucking high-level influencers, and these movie stars, actors, list goes on. If you're in the 1%, right, I imagine pussy's probably pretty easy to get. So sometimes pussy has to do some weird shit to make sure you get off, right? It's like that same lion then goes into a zoo and he's being fed every day, gets to get a little lazy, gets to scratch his nuts, sleep, have naps all day long. You lose the sense of the lion, right? When it's just given to you. The lion loses its way. And then you start to do some weird shit. You gotta. I can only imagine what some of the shit that they get up to. Like, what was that one maniac? He was like cutting bitches and sucking their blood like it was... like he was fucking in the remake of Vampire, for Christ's sakes. It's got to get old. It's got to get old. So do you blame him? And then when these billion, and then, you know, you got regular day women who waltz the street, right? They waltz the street and they think that, yes, I am the one that is deserving of Elon Musk's money. For the way that I look and the way I shake my ass in dance clubs. All right? I put a suction cup tentacle dildo on the side of my bathtub and put it in my ass once a week to make $6.99. And I promote it all across the interwebs. It's crazy that the sex toy game, isn't it? Like, imagine that. Where do you get off on, like, the thought, like that, like that Japanese, like, hentai shit in this, like, anime bullshit really got people weird. That's weird stuff. Like a tentacle fucking you. The sexual fantasies. Like, we've evolved to a place now where there's no going back, baby. There's no going back. I think we've gone so progressive that we're regressive now. It's got to that point. You know, sexually, intellectually, I think, like, maybe even, like, I wouldn't say physically. Physically, we're still, like, evolving, you know? You've seen these mutants that are just, like, they're... Oh, Christ, gassed on the Anavar and testosterone, putting up 1,000 pounds on a bicep curl. You know, that's interesting. We're progressing there in our physical capabilities due to performance-enhancing drugs. But intellectually, I fucking think, like, North America is regressing. We are. In an incredibly fast fashion, too. We're going to hell in a handbasket, ladies and gentlemen. We are. And it's a good thing. Because we get to enjoy the collapse of first world societies. We do. Everybody that was born, like, I'd say like 90s. Anybody born after 1995, you're just watching the world slowly regress. And now's the time to just enjoy it, right? Now's the time to just sit back, enjoy it, enjoy the little moments, take in things. If you have a family, spend time with them. What the fuck are you worrying about the trans people in New York City about, right? What are you worried about them? Who gives a fuck? Let the trannies read storybooks to other fucking parents' kids. It's not like that. You think that those kids, you think that, you know, those parents that are doing that type of shit, you think they're raising astronauts and soldiers? How do you care? You got yourself a good little laborer bouncing on your knee right now, don't you? You guys are going to grow up to be a wonderful welder. So what are we worrying about? Huh? Is that, you know, I laugh like when my cousins are like, well, these fucking, you know, these fucking at the library. Listen, no trans person is coming to read fucking story time books at the Tabor Library. You're good. Okay? You're good there. Now, when the teachers start putting that shit in the school system, then you gotta start, hey, what the fuck you doing? But getting mad over, like, trannies reading books in libraries in New York City, it's just like, let them do New York shit. You know, what are we worried about? Why do we care out here? First off, we're in a separate country. And like I said, you think that those parents that are bringing those kids there, you think is that the next generation of inventors? Is that what that is? No, that's just like, you just got a room full of future Redditors. That's what you got, right? You're producing the next fleet of Redditors. That's all. So let it die out. Let it fizzle out. Who cares? Who gives a shit? Drink beer and make sure that your kid doesn't turn out gay by showing them a club magazine. Remember that? Remember that fucking, remember old Fox 49, I think it was? Just like... Hide those underneath the kitchen sink or the bathroom sink, like back in the day, and let him just try and figure out what's going on there. I remember when the first time I seen like a picture of a woman spreading her pussy, and I was like, is she trying to pee? Is that how they pee? And then I just let my little mind go. I knew I liked looking at it, right? I knew. I was like, whoa, how do I find one of them? I just didn't know what I was looking at. That's what you got to do. You got to pique their curiosity instead of telling them what they need to think. Just let them, you know, it's like when you see guys trying to make their kids political. I'm like, he'll figure it out. Trust me. He'll figure it out. But what do I know? What do I know? Like I said, I'm a fucking idiot. I'm a moron. I just come on here, I yell into this microphone, hoping to God that you will share this with your friends every Thursday at 3 p.m. and possibly head on over to the Patreon where there is an exclusive episode waiting for you. I don't know if that may, is there even a selling feature behind that? Does anybody hear, oh, there's a secret episode just waiting for me? Me only? Well, whoever subscribes to it, there's an extra episode. How's that? There's an extra hour of the podcast waiting for you with different topics. I make sure to do it on a separate day so that way you can come on, log on, and you got yourself a brand new hour of the Uncle Egg podcast where I release my thoughts. We go a little harder on there. There's a little more $50 words, if you know what I mean. We let loose on that podcast. Anyways, thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week, Thursday, at 3 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Patreon.com/DangerCat69, extra episode for all my lads and lasses out there that like to eat ass and tip glasses back full of sarsaparillas. And we definitely know the definition of what is a man. Good night, everybody.